Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
I want you to go with me in your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to really two places. Our text is going to come from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And then we're also going to go to the book of Exodus. I can hardly ever say Exodus or Deuteronomy without thinking of Harold Cochran. You don't know him. Many of you won't. He has passed on many years ago. Some of you would know. But he told the story of a man that had a speech impediment, and he couldn't say Exodus, he would say Exodus. And he couldn't say Deuteronomy, he'd say do it around me. So I just, you know, things that you pick up over the years. You know, don't you wish that the things that were pertinent would stick instead of the things that are just flippant? But that's the way we are. Amen. Looking around, checking you out, making sure who I'm missing. I know somebody I just seen, one of our newest members. I can't remember the name. Reagan. Amen. So it's the first time in service with us. Reagan is with us. That is Willie and Jackie Hughes' newborn that was born while they've been out in COVID. And so we want to welcome Reagan with it. Come on, give Reagan a hand. Congratulations, guys. I've checked, and praise God, it looks like Jackie. The baby looks like Jackie and not Willie. Oh, wow, Willie. I always called, when I dedicated Willie, but I always said, wow, Willie on the organ, but he never learned to play the organ. I just think that'd be a great name. We got wow, Willie on the organ. Stuff that sticks. Amen. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse number 10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself..." Now I want you to catch this. After you've suffered for a little while, Pastor, can we take that little while out, or maybe the suffered, and let's not do it at all? Well, I wished I could. If I would have wrote the Bible, if I was God, I probably wouldn't have put that in there for myself anyway. I'd have put that in there for some of you, but not myself. But God knew some things that you and I were going to need. That we learn more by what we go through many times than just by what we see other people go through. Because, you know, we understand that a wise man learns from his mistakes. A wiser man learns from somebody else's mistakes. But I can promise you, I know some things not to do because of what I've been through. But he says, after you suffered for a little while, the God of all creation, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Now, I think that's a good trade-off. That I may have to go through it a little while, but the God of grace, the God of glory, will restore me, confirm me, strengthen me, and establish me. I don't know anybody, I don't know about you, but I myself have gone through some times that I've needed God to restore me, to confirm me, to strengthen me, and to establish me. And I know that in the midst of the recent crisis that we've all been through, that it's sometimes hard to wrap your mind around this word called trust. But I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, trusting God during the in-between. Trusting God during the in-between. Don't you wish that God would give you a promise and the next day it would come to fruition? Wouldn't it be awesome for God to give you a promise and the next day you walk into the fullness of it? Wouldn't it be awesome if God gave you a promise and then 5 minutes later you saw the fullness of that promise? Now, there's been a time or two that has happened to me. I remember when we bought this building next door, there was a woman here that was a pastor appreciation. And Sister Herring, Lisa Herring, was here. And she said, "Pastor, I believe the Lord has a word for the church and for you. And may I give it?" I go, "Of course, yes," because I knew her. You know, if you come up to me and go, "I feel like the Lord has a word," I don't know you. You ain't saying nothing. I just want to throw that out there in case you felt a little froggy. So I said yes, and so she said to me, she said the Lord would say that God's going to give you a plan. And the next day, in the afternoon, God gave me a plan that was not even on my radar. And so I know that sometimes it happens, but how many knows that many times there is a promise, there is a duration, and then the fulfillment of that promise. And the problem that many of us have is not the beginning or the end. It is the in-between. It is the time in the in-between, but we've got to learn to trust Him in the in-between time. We're not the first. We will not that to be put to this kind of test, and we certainly will not be the last. But I believe that in spite of everything we're going through, God will never fail us, and we will be amazed at what He does in our life if we allow Him to do so. So point number one is this. I know you're just blown away that I got to the first point that fast. But point number one is trust God that every season of suffering has an expiration date. My God, somebody hear me. I'm talking to somebody. You know, you can go through almost anything if you know that there is a set time that it will be over. You can go through most things if you know that there is a set time. And I wish I could give you the date and the time when your suffering is going to be over. But I've just come by to tell you that I promise you that every season of suffering in your life has an expiration date on it. And it just might be today. Every season of suffering in your life has an expiration date. The devil can't just mess with you as long as he wants to. Now I want you to think about that. He can't mess with you as long as he wants to. Well, Pastor, I just feel like I've been going through. Well, you know, let me ask you this. What about some of your choices and your decisions? Sometimes we call it God, and other times I call it stupidity. That'll preach right there. Lord, I don't know how I got here. I just wish God would speak to some of us. Because I know He don't talk to you this way, so He uses me for an example. God, I don't know how I got here. I do. You made some choices without talking to me. You made some decisions because you were depleted. Oh, somebody hear me. You made some decisions because you were empty and you made decisions without me. I know how you got there. And then when you're depleted, you open the door to the devil and the devil comes in and begins to have his way in your life. I don't know how you talk to God, but I talk to God like I talk to you sometimes. And I don't know if you've ever, God knows my heart. I'm not being disrespectful to God because remember, He is God. And so, but sometimes I tell God, "God, you don't have to talk to me that way. I'm looking for some sympathy. I'm looking for some pity. And all you want to give me is truth." Oh, ain't nobody hearing me this morning. I want some sympathy. I want somebody to cry on the shoulder when I come to you, God. But yet you don't give me that. You just give me truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. But the Bible says that after you have suffered a little while, that God Himself will restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. And I am also an example of somebody who's been there, that God has established me, He's strengthened me, He's confirmed me, He's brought me back from the proverbial death door and brought me back to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I know what it is to think that God forgot your address, but then Him to show up with a bouquet of flowers and blessing and remind you that He's still God. So now, here we have, God will restore, confirm, and strengthen you and establish you. But it's not the first time that He's done this. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and chapter 16, just reference it because I'm going to just hit a few verses in that, but it is the story of the Exodus of the children of Israel. God rescued the children of Israel from bondage to the Egyptians. And the Bible said when they came out with a high hand. Now, I want you to notice something, that they were in bondage for almost 400 years. But yet when they came out with a high hand. But once you've been in bondage for 400 years, bondage gets inside of you. A mentality gets inside of you that you have to be delivered out of that mentality. If you was raised with a Jerry Springer family, that everybody on your road had a Jerry Springer episode, and then you grew up and married somebody who was a Jerry Springer episode, and you just think Jerry Springer is normal. Somebody needs to hear me. If you grew up with everybody being broke, struggling from day to day, everybody always fussing and fighting, you can't have a family gathering without a fight breaking out, then you just think that's normal. I've come by to tell you it's abnormal. I've come by to tell you that you don't have to live in a dilapidated state for the rest of your life. I've come by to tell you that there is hope and there is joy. God Himself can confirm you, establish you. He can do it in your life if you will let Him. Hallelujah. So the children of Israel, though, they were rescued by God. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And He brought them out at the appointed time into the place. Now think about this. Hey, we're out of Egypt. And where we wound up is in the wilderness. You're out of Egypt, but you're not in the promised land. You're in the wilderness. You ain't got to raise your hand, but how many of you feel like you're in the wilderness? Oh, God, I'm not in bondage anymore, but I haven't made it to that place you said I could have. I haven't made it to the place that, God, you said I could live in. And so I'm living in a promise. I'm out of danger, but I'm still in a different danger. I'm not at the place where you said I could be. So He brought them out at the appointed time into a place called the wilderness. See, this is not where they came from, and this was not where they were going. It is the in-between time. What's my next one, Alex? Give me my next one. I don't went past that one. There it is. This is not where they came from, and this was not where they were going. You've got to understand that where you're going is not where you are. Does that make sense to you? Where you're going is not where you are. You've got to recognize that you're going somewhere. God is taking you somewhere. That God is moving you somewhere. God is moving you out of bondage, but yet you haven't reached the promised land yet. But don't decide that the wilderness is home. My dad tells the story years and years ago. This little boy heard that the circus was coming to town, and he cut yards and picked up bottles. You young people don't know nothing about that. Picked up bottles and cans and made a little bit of money to be able to go to the circus. Now, years and years ago, back when Popeye was a young man, which was a long time ago. I mean, rotary phones when the circus would come to town, they would have a parade down Main Street to get everybody excited about the circus. How many can remember that? Because I can't. Y'all are really old. I'm old, but y'all really old. All right, but they would have this come down through Main Street. And the little boy was so excited, he went and saw the elephants coming down the street and all the clowns coming down the street and the different things coming down the street. And as they passed, he looked around and said, Mister, there was a guy standing close to him. He said, Mister, nobody took my money. And the guy said, do what? He goes, I didn't pay anybody to see the parade. Now this joker said, oh, I'll take it. So he took the little boy's money. Now, the story is, don't get stuck on the man taking the little boy's money. Because the story, the theme or the point is this, is that he went and just saw the parade and paid the price for the parade because he didn't know any better that there was a true circus that he could have attended. He was wonderfully pleased with the circus, what he thought was the circus, but it was just a parade. Some of you are thanking God that you're out of bondage and you're giving God thanks and it's great and it's wonderful, but you are being satisfied with the parade instead of getting in to see the show. Baby, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, or has it entered the heart of man the things that God has planned for you. You've got to say, thank you, God, for what you're doing, but I know that I'm not there yet. I'm headed there. Bless the Lord. You're not where you came from. Woo! But you're not where you're going. Oh. So this is only the place of in between. The wilderness. The hallway. And when they got so far into the wilderness, about a month, when they had passed through the Red Sea, think about this. You pass, you know, some of you will say this. I've said this. I mean, if God would have done for me what he did for the children of Israel, I'd have never turned my back. But how many of us, God has done stuff for us? God has done a Red Sea party. I mean, think about it. You're walking on dry ground. Looking at the waters, held up. My Lord, what a mighty God we serve. And we go, yeah, Pastor, if God would have done something like that for me, well, let's talk about it. God saved you. You look back at what you left. I can't believe I used to be like that. It's a Red Sea party. I can't believe that I left and now I'm here. But it was a Red Sea party. So they're about a month into this, but then they came up to a problem. See, although they had left Egypt and they had passed through the Red Sea, they now, God had done a miracle a month ago. But now we need God to do another miracle. And we're not sure that the same God that parted the Red Sea could now do what we need him to do, which is we need water. So here they are, about a month into it, and they run out of food. The place called in between. And so they're not on the Egyptian meal plan anymore. Even though the Egyptians beat them, physically hurt them, at least they didn't have to deal with hunger. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you ain't ever been hungry, there's things that people will do for hunger. See, some of us ain't hungry enough. I could go off on us on something there. Some of us ain't hungry enough. You know, I remember about my Uncle Josh. He told me, he said, boy, he said, go throw these collard greens out to the dog. Put him in the dog's bowl outside. They had him out in the back before Peter and all that stuff. And so had him out there chained up. And so I said, Uncle Josh, does that dog like collard greens? And Uncle Josh said he will in 3 days. Which simply means if he ain't getting nothing else, he'll eat it. But you know, I'm a picky eater. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm real picky. You know, macaroni and cheese is a vegetable in my house. That's right. I'm a real picky eater. But I can promise you, if I get hungry enough, I'm not as picky as I once was. Come on, somebody. And some of us just ain't hungry enough. We want to pick and choose. We belly up to the buffet. And if we don't like what we think, we'll just go to another restaurant. We'll go somewhere else. We'll get something else to eat. But if when you was raised like I was raised, we didn't have a lot. And that's why I think that's why I'm limited in what I like. We just ate what we ate. But you ate whatever was put in front of you, which was usually not a lot. We ate a lot of beans and cornbread and biscuit. That's what we eat. So they're not yet in the land of flowing with milk and honey, like they talked about in Numbers chapter 13. But now there is a test. Where they are is a test. In the wilderness, a test. The test doesn't happen usually when you're full. It happens when you are depleted. What will they depend on, and where will they place their trust? What will you depend on? Where will you place your trust? And they do so well with they didn't do so well with this test. How will you handle the test that is placed in your life? How have you handled the test that is placed in your life? Have you ever noticed when you go through something and you fail the test and you realize it was a test from God? How are you going to treat that person you don't like? How are you going to respond when somebody ticks you off? Come on. I wish I could say I always respond godly. But I know me. Let's get over the mentality of thinking that I have to depend on something or somebody else other than God. I've got to get you into understanding that you first put your trust in God. And God sometimes uses many other types of people. But listen, church. Trust God. Point number two is this. Trust God in the process. Trust God in the process. I wish I could tell you the process was fast. I wish I could tell you the process was the same every time. But trust God in the process. God will give you different opportunities in your life to trust Him in a whole new way. Now think about that. He will give you opportunities to trust in a whole new way. To all the parents, do you remember when your child was just an infant and you were wondering if it was breathing? Have you ever went into your child's room and put your hand in front of their face to make sure they were breathing or watch their stomach? You had to trust God, right? That was a trust. But then they get a little bit older and they become a toddler, and then you got to trust God that they won't put bobby pins into the receptacle like my niece did, and that's probably what's wrong with her. You got to start trusting God, right? So you trust God at one level, then you trust at a whole new other level, but then you get to trust Him again when they become a teenager and you wonder who kidnapped your child and put an alien there. Right? But you have to trust God again. And then you got to trust God that you don't kill the alien in the absence of your child. Then they become adults and you have to trust God when they bring old bony-headed boy up in your house. The point is, you got to trust God in every level of your life. You got to trust God in every level of your life. But here's what I want you to know, is that faith is progressive. Faith is progressive. That I trust Him here and He comes through and it builds my faith to go to the next level, and it builds my faith to go to the next level, and it builds my faith to go to the next level. When God begins to meet your need, and when God begins to come through on your end, it begins to build your level, and then you get to the point that you begin to believe that nothing is impossible with God. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know it's going to be all right because I trusted you yesterday and you came through, and I'm going to trust you again today. Hallelujah. She's just like the Israelites. You got to trust God when you walk through the parted waters that He parted. Think about that. He parted the water. I don't know. What if I get halfway through and it comes back? You know, my dad was a great man of God. But he was a man of faith, but a man of worry. I never could reconcile that too. We were over in the Wieliczka salt mines in Krakow, Poland. I took him with me on a mission trip. We were going down to the mines, and the mine was secured with big logs and tenders. And as we walked, he goes, "Son," he said, "do they have termites here?" I said, "Well, Dad, I don't know. I'm not Polish." God help us. We walked a little further. There was wood everywhere keeping the salt mines open. And, you know, he goes, "Man, it'd be a bad scene if they had fire in here." Like, yeah, Dad, it would be. We walked a little bit further, and we went about a mile down into the crevice of the earth. And then they had lights down there. And he goes, "Son, if the lights went out, could you get us out of here?" I was like, "Dad, you know, I had pretty much, I didn't worry about any of that stuff before I came down here. But you began to worry me." Come on, somebody. Isn't that like most of us, though? "God, I know you delivered me out of that, but I just don't know about this. Because I'm in a different country now. And I don't know if you can get me out of this situation." But you've got to trust God in the process. See, now, just like the Israelites had to trust Him that to walk through the waters that He parted, now they get to trust Him in the wilderness. I trusted God got me out of bondage. But can I trust God to keep me while I'm in the wilderness? Now you get to trust Him in the wilderness. 3 days pass, and now they have no water. Then God brings them to a little bit of water, but it's too bitter to drink. Oh, well, what's God going to do now? It's just a little bit of water. What's He going to do? But the Bible says in Exodus 15:25 that God shows Moses a log. A word "show" means, in one translation, means to teach. God wanted to teach Moses something. Showed him a stick, a tree, a log, and told him to throw it in the water, and it was going to turn the waters sweet. Now, many theologians, I did a little bit of research, and many theologians, some are not theologians, but some try to say that it was a certain kind of tree that they knew would sweeten the waters, and there are a few of those, but there were none in that region at that time. So what was it? It was just an ordinary log, an ordinary tree that God put His hand on, and through the extraordinary power of God, caused what it should not have been, caused the waters of Marah to become sweet. So listen now, God, so He throws this log, this tree into the water, and the waters turn sweet. God will always show you something in your life that you can utilize. God will show you something in your life that you can utilize. What's my next one, Alex? Bring it on me. There it is. God will give you different opportunities in your life to trust Him in a whole new way. Give me my next one. Just like the Israelites, give me my next one. There we go. God will always show you something in your life that you can utilize. What in your life, you say, "Well, God can't use that." You don't know what God can use. You don't know what God will use. What will God use in your life? You know what? God might use your mother-in-law. Probably not, but maybe. God might use your spouse. Probably not, but maybe. But do you understand what I'm saying? God might use your pastor. Probably not, but maybe. You never know. What I'm saying is God will show you something in your life that you can utilize. God will show you somebody that you can stand with, somebody you can lean on, somebody that'll give you a word in due season for you that are weary. Something in your life, God will use, but you've got to be cognizant of it. If God brings you to a place and the water is bitter, there will be something that God will use to free you from that. All right, are you listening? God has got me out of situations that I got myself into. Because that's the kind of God that I serve. Mercy, that's exactly right. So now the children of Israel are hydrated, but they're still hungry. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. So now, 45 days is where they've been. 45 days they've come out. Now their faith has progressed and they get to choose to trust God in a whole new way. They had to trust Him when they walked through the water. They had to trust Him for God to turn the waters of Marah from bitter to sweet. But now they're hungry and they have to trust God in a whole new way. Point number three is this. Trust God in His plan for your life. Trust God in His plan for your life. Well, Pastor, I would be easier to trust Him if I knew what the plan was. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, baby. But that's why God says He does it, that His word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. He didn't say it was a spotlight. He didn't say it was a halogen. That's what I want. I want one of them lights that light up the night. But it's just a lamp that all I can see is the next step. And when I take that step, I have to trust Him. I have to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And before long, I'm walking my way right out of that situation. Come on, somebody. See, I believe that some of you right now have trusted God on one level long enough. You've been at that same mountain for 30 years. You've been walking around that same situation for years, and you can't just trust Him. You can't trust Him. You almost get out of that situation, and you go right back to it. You almost begin to trust Him, but you go right back to it. You trusted in your career. You trusted in your job. You've trusted in your income. And I get that because that's human nature. But God is trying to free you from the dependence of anybody other than Him. Right. Understand it. In other words, you've been eating food past its expiration. See, in the book of Exodus chapter 16, what I haven't told you yet, but some of you already know, is that God was giving them a plan, was supposed to provide them manna from heaven. But here's what God said to them in Exodus chapter 16. He said, only gather enough for today. And some people didn't trust Him, so they got more than what they needed. And you know what happened? It spoiled. Because they were eating food beyond its expiration. God saying, I'm going to trust you. I need you to trust me today. Well, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of itself. Trust me today. But Pastor, nothing happened today. You don't know what was going on in the spirit realm. You don't know what was going on behind closed doors. You don't know the conversations that were happening about you when you didn't hear them. You didn't know that money was moving with your name on it and you didn't even know. You didn't know that people were talking about you, but you didn't know it. You didn't know that God was beating off devils and demons, and you didn't even know it. And you say nothing happened today. You know, some of you like my youngest daughter, her first day of first grade. She came home. I said, well, how'd today go? She goes, well, not good, Daddy. I said, well, what happened? She said, this little girl, somebody cut her hair, and they all blame me. I said, what? The teacher made me stand in the corner for 40 minutes because they said I did it, and I promise I didn't do it. I said, what? I said, oh my gosh. I said, now, because I know my daughter. I said, now, honey, did you do it? She said, I promise I did not cut her hair. I said, okay. Did you have anything to do with cutting her hair? No, Daddy, I promise. I said, all right. So I started I was in my shorts, so I was getting my clothes on. I said, all right, I'm going to give you one more chance because I'm finna go down there and give that teacher a piece of my mind. I'm going to give you one more chance. So when I go down there, if you're lying to me, I'm talking about you. And then her head just bowed. Come on in, sit down. You need to alter. Come on. And then her head just went down, and she said, no, Daddy, nothing happened today. It was boring day, so I just made up that story. So some of you are trying to make your story a little better than what it was. Come on, somebody. But God's saying, I'm working. You might think it's boring, but you don't know what I'm doing behind the scenes. I can't tell you everything I'm doing. You got to trust me in the in-between time. Glory to God. You've trusted in me in other areas. You got to trust me in every area. So the good news is that they are out of Egypt. The bad news is they're hungry. And the worst news is they're still in between where God has brought them from and where God has taken them to. Where are you? Where are you today? It says in verse 2 of Exodus chapter 16, thank you so much, Moses, for standing up to Pharaoh. That's not what it says. What it says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. See, you got to be careful in the wilderness. Because it's in the wilderness where you say things that you shouldn't say. It's in the wilderness when you blame people that you shouldn't blame. It's in the wilderness when you think God isn't moving, but He is moving. And the children of Israel, verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, what is wrong with this picture? Does anybody know anybody with selective memory? We should have died back there in the land of Egypt. At least we were fed, but you were beat. Some of you are like, I'm so lonely, I should have just stayed in that abusive relationship that I was in. At least it was relationship. I know that when I was with them, it caused me to drink and do drugs and stuff that is not of God. But at least I had somebody. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. See, you need to know that God already knows how He's going to provide for you. He already knows how He's going to get you through the situation. He already knows how He's going to get you through. God already had a plan to provide for them. In verse 12, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking to them and say, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I'm just going to show you who I am. See, God is saying my resources are not limited, but they are unlimited, and I can do things outside the realm of your reality. God ever met your need and you don't know how He did it? I just don't even know how God did that. Sometimes I walk around this building, I don't even know how God did that. I don't know how God did it, but God did it. Listen, you've got to understand it. And the Bible says, just like with Abraham in Genesis 22 and 14, when he said, he called the place Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You got to know that God didn't bring you to the wilderness to leave you. He brought you to the wilderness, and that's not your home. It's just an in-between from where God brought you from and where God's taken you to. All right, come on, help me close. God is saying the same thing to us today. God is saying the same thing. He wants you to know that He sees where you are. He sees your need. And He wants you to know that He's going to meet your needs. He's saying, I'm going to meet your needs according to my riches in glory. Whatever it is that you have need of, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. God wants to show you who He is, but you've got to trust Him in between. And that's the hardest time, is the in-between. When you're not where you were, but you're not where you're going. You know, for folks who have been married a long time and lost a spouse, sometimes you got to rediscover who you are. Because you feel like you don't have an identity without the person that you were married to. But you got to recognize, some of us has to do the same thing with our issue. You don't know who you are without your issue. Well, Pastor, who am I? I used to be the alcoholic. I used to be the drug addict. I used to be the agnostic, the atheist. I used to be just average. Man, I don't ever want to be average. Average is boring. Nobody gets a trophy for you're the most average person. I don't want to be average. I hate the color beige. It's average. I like bright colors, dark colors. I like them. Average. You don't serve an average God. I know some of you just wish you could be average. But God wants you to be so much more than average. See, all you can see today is what you don't have. You ever look at everybody else and get down on yourself because you're not where they are? You're about the only one, Papa. Papa goes, no, because you're 107. But sometimes, if you're not careful, especially in between, why don't I have what that has? What's wrong with me? Why don't I have joy like so-and-so? Why can't I have the house? Why can't I have the car? Why can't I have the joy? Why can't I have the peace? Well, let me ask you as I began. First of all, let's talk about your stupid choices. But then let's talk about the in-between. Because you might be getting set up. Because God said, I'm about to ready to show you who I am. Parted the waters for them to come through. He did a miracle for them to get to the wilderness. Think about this for a moment. He did a miracle to get you to the wilderness. And then did several miracles while you're in the wilderness. And I love this miracle that we don't talk a lot about. For 38 years while they wandered in the wilderness, God said their clothes didn't wear out. Walked around, their sandals didn't wear out. What a miracle. See, some of you are looking for a parted sea. But look, where are you at? God sustained you. You know, listen. During this COVID-19, let me just give you props, man. To God be the glory. You continue to give. But, I mean, there are 9 people families that are attached to this church that get a paycheck. And I'm glad to say, thank God, none of them went hungry. Hallelujah. That's because of your faithfulness. Well, that's the wilderness. No, but see, listen. I wasn't looking to give nobody a raise. We were just trying to sustain. So do you think I won't praise God for the sustaining power of God? But Pastor, I lost my job. Well, what do you have left? Because so many times we look at what we lost instead of thanking God for what is left. To not thank God for what you have left is being snubbing your nose at what you have left. Well, I wasn't able. You know, I had a cousin many years ago who lost a child. And I've never lost a child. I've lost a niece, but never a child, my personal child. But she had three other kids. And she said, I have nothing else to live for. And I go, oh, hold up. You got three other children. Was that one your favorite? I didn't say that to her because, you know, you got to be a little bit compassionate. God gave me some. I said, you've got three children left. If all you do is concentrate on what you lost, you're missing God or the God of in between. You're missing. See, it is so critical that we set a standard for future generations. We got to set a standard to thank God, to praise God, glorify God. See, those young ones who are watching us, learning from us, waiting to see what we do and how we cope in the middle of a crisis. I want my child, my children, my grandson now, to see how I cope in the middle of a crisis. I don't go crazy trying to get my one bullet like old Barney Fife. I serve the God of miracles. I serve the God of creation. And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter your situation, what it looks like, no matter what's going on in your life, God wants you to trust Him in the middle, in the in-between. That we are well able to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. God wants you to know He has a plan. What, I got anything left over up there, Alex? Do I have another one? All right, I'm going to stop. I didn't see. God already got a plan for your life. I don't know what I'm going to do. God does. I'm not saying you don't need to be concerned or it's a sin to cry about it or to be upset. There's a grieving process for stuff that you lost. But it's not perpetual. At some point in time, man, you got to dust yourself off and say, thank you, Lord, for what I got left. You're the God of what's left. See, if God let be taken something of yours or whatever in your life, it means that He didn't think you needed it to fulfill His purpose in your life anyway. Come on, stand to your feet. Will you trust God during the in-between? Will you trust God in the in-between? Come on, throw your head back. Throw your arms up and out, whatever. And just tell God, Lord, if you're trying to teach me to lean on you, help me pass the test. Spirit Life Team, come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's just take a few moments right there in the presence of the Lord. Jess and Joe, can I use you? Come here. No one else like you. Come on up here. Now, many of you know Jess and Joe, but some of you don't know their background. Jess has now 4 children. Fertile Myrtle. She has 4 children. What you don't know is that both of them are recovered. I'm not going to say recovering. I'm going to say recovered addicts. And it's not necessary for all the details, but suffice to say that she lost 3 of her kids to the system. Both went into rehab. And they began to get their life right. They met Jesus. They began coming to the church. They began to get discipled. They read the scripture about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they interpreted it, Meshach, Yoshach, and Abednego. And so they were shacked up. Am I right? They were shacked up. And then I started preaching. And they go, Pastor, we need to get this right. So we married him right here. Now, they've got 2 children. She's got 2 children back. Working on the other child. Got the new child. Married. Got their own place. Got their own car. How long of a process? How many years?
Close to 2.
Close to 2 years. And I'm sure, because I've talked with them, I'm sure there were times that they just wanted to give up. But you got to trust God in the process. And every time, it's a step up. You be there for a little while and it's a step up. And then it's a step up. And because Jesus in your life, it was so easy, wasn't it?
Easier without, than without him.
Joe said, woo! No, no. See, they wouldn't have what they have. They wouldn't be where they're at. They wouldn't be where they're at. God's restoring the family. God's restoring the family. And she says, and giving us abundance more. Y'all want more children? Is that what you were saying? Abundance? Okay, just check it. Just check it. I heard abundance. I just want to use them as an example. I don't want you to think it just works for pastors. But for Joe and Jesse. Jessica, sorry. But they keep coming back. That's right. Did you know also it works for John, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Gypsy, Popeye, Becky, Bonnie, Diane, Star. You put your name in there. It works. It works. But Pastor, I want it instantaneously. Usually it doesn't work that way. But there's an in-between. Can you trust God during the in-between? Thank you, guys. Give this family a hand. Here's what I want us to do today. It works. It begins. It began asking Jesus into your life. Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, then I'm not talking to you. Because I'm going to tell you that's where it begins. You ask Jesus to come into your life because, listen, let me tell you something about Ronnie. If you want my advice and I give it and then you don't take it, then don't ask me again. I'm not going to waste my time. So if you, I'm sorry, baby. She gets tired of me using her. This is my baby. She still lives at home. And because she lives in my house, there are rules of the house. But because there are rules of the house, she's covered by the house. Oh, so y'all don't understand that. Don't understand that. She went to the beach on Friday. And she had to pay $15. Guess who covered that $15? The house. I saw you put it on my credit card. She goes, that was mine. Mom did that. But you understand what I'm saying? She's covered by the house. If you want to be covered by the house, you've got to let the house be the head of your life. If I want Jesus to come in and take care of my life, then I've got to give him my life. And trust him even when I don't understand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I reserve that for my children. But if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to ask him into your life, it's simple. You admit you're in need of a Savior. You believe that Jesus died for your sin and see, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, and you shall be saved. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Would everybody pray this prayer with me? Father, I admit I'm in need of you, a Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Come into my heart. I give you my life. And from this day forward, you will be my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give Jesus praise.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.